The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. Why would you buy an old home? If you're thinking practically, sensibly, you almost always would buy the relatively new house. It's more likely to have a modern floor plan to live as we do today. Plus, less things are old, worn out, or just obsolete, like the plumbing, the heating, and the electrical system. There's been less time for the weather to work on the shell of the house, and many of the elements, such as doors and windows, are much better built today than were the old versions. Let's face it, life is easier in a relatively new house. And to take this idea to its extreme, life in the brand new house should be a piece of cake. A house built right now should have, and well built, should have little maintenance and no significant issues for 20 years. So why buy an old house, especially a truly old home, and take on all of his old problems? I've done a couple of shows on romancing the home and talking about how a home can bring a couple closer together. Perhaps this idea represents a different aspect of romance, the romance of the old house, the house with history and character that speaks to your soul. My girlfriend's father lives in a house near Boston that was built before 1800. It's a substantial four-square Georgian. Doesn't have a lot of decoration. They were practical, and it's kind of stark, but has simple, strong lines that give it real character. Plus 200 years gives it character. The floors in the house are 12-inch to 20-inch wide oak planks. Not oak. They're planks of old-growth pine. And over the years, they've been worn and buffed by 230 years of feet. These floors are absolutely gorgeous. And they're just incredible works of art. Although kind of hard to walk across because they're wave up and down. And the house is a treasure. It's an extreme example of the romance of the old house. But here's the flip side. Her father has spent, you know, well over $100,000 just stabilizing and restoring the house. And things like, well, the foundation was built over 200 years ago, hand dug and hand built of stone. and it started to crumble and, you know, give in a few places. So he had to go in there and basically put a new foundation inside the existing, framing up and pumping in concrete to create a new inner foundation. You can imagine what that cost. And then one of the side walls just started bowing out, a combination of gravity and probably some pieces in the wood. The outside had gotten moisture in it and was weakened relative to the inside. So the wall started to bow out. Getting that fixed on the historic house, that was pricey. As a buyer, you will often consider the older house because you like the feel of an established in-town neighborhood with its huge old trees and close to everything. Or perhaps you consider the old house because in that older neighborhood, the yards are much larger than you can get in new subdivisions. But to get the big yard in the established neighborhood close to everything, often you have to buy the truly old house. And let's stop here and define old, or truly old. What I'm talking about is before World War II. After World War II, there were modern construction methods and modern methods, well, materials. Those are different houses. Before World War II, houses were mostly built by hand by either skilled craftsmen who really knew their trade and built wonderful detail, or by jackleg craftsmen, the guys in the neighborhood, or the people who were going to live in the house. And it got built kind of haphazard and, you know, it got up, it works, it kept the water out, kept you warm, sort of. So a truly old house is before World War II and often before the 20th century. So what I'm talking about is 100 years old, plus or minus, and where all of the original systems are either crap and should be replaced or gone. So let's get serious. Let's look at, you know, when you look at one of these old houses, you have to evaluate the undertaking as an investment. As I've spoken many times, the investment, a house is your biggest investment, and the decisions you make you can make money on it, or you can lose money. With the old house, those dangers are kind of increased. Look at the neighborhood and the neighbors. Is the house a bargain? And often we buy old houses because they are a bargain. You can get 5,000 square feet this cheap. Is the house a bargain because the next two houses are crack houses? Or is this an area on the decline? Or is it an area that's gentrifying? Getting in on the first wave of gentrification in the neighborhood is a great investment if it's actually gentrifying. To buy low and sell high, that's what you do with an investment. And to do that, you can build a solid nest egg that you can use them to go on to your next dream home. One of the, or the reverse. And, you know, I like to, one organization that's active here in North Carolina is called Preservation North Carolina. And they're working to preserve old houses and give them new life. It is really interesting to look at don't know why I lost my notes. I've always been fascinated to look at the Preservation North Carolina magazine at the for sale home ads. There'll be a house in there, 5,000 square feet, an impressive Victorian for $100,000. You look closer and the neighborhood is in has changed and the houses around it, you know, are rental houses, very low income. Or you look in there and you'll see a cute little 1,000-square-foot worker house for $40,000. These seem like great bargains. All you need is to restore them. Hard work, you know, often sweat equity, and elbow grease to make them sparkle. However, look at the neighborhood. Most of the houses, I've been involved with many restorations and recreations of old houses. Most of them are in historic districts where the land values are high and you pay quite a bit of money for the house, unrestored, basic shell. However, when you finish, the neighborhood will command the value of the overall house. It doesn't matter whether that 5,000 square foot Victorian is in a historic district with very high property values, or if it's in a low income neighborhood on the downward slide. It's going to cost you just as much money to renovate it and put it back in shape. So a good investment has to be in a good neighborhood. Now, what I see at the other end of the scale, and I've mostly talked about anecdotes today, but at the end of the scale in the Preservation North Carolina real estate ads, I see these beautifully restored, lovingly cared for homes that are selling for way under the cost of the work because the neighborhood is still bad. If a trailer park is sitting beside you and is going to remain there, don't touch the house. It makes no sense to put this kind of effort into your house in the wrong neighborhood. So that's the first thing you evaluate as you're looking. Next, I'm talking about this as an investment, and it is. Next, because the purchase price is only part of the outcome, you have to realistically assess how much the completed home will cost. In a truly old house, the repairs and renovations will always cost more than you think, and the older the house, the more it will cost to restore it. So you add it all up, the purchase price, the work you're planning, the value of your sweat equity, and you come up with a total. Then you look at it and say, will the house be worth what you put into it? If so, it's a sound investment. Go for it. If not, and quite often in restoring the truly old house, quite often you aren't going to get back everything you put into it. So you have to think before you jump in. And quite often, very legitimately, you can think, I'm going to do it anyway. This is the romance of the old home. It's like restoring that old car, only much more so, more dollars. It's the romance of it. And so sometimes you'll jump in because you just want to do it and you'll take the consequences as an investment. Watch your dollars and you can still come out fine. Okay. You know, when I was really young in my 20s and I just graduated from my master's in architecture. I came out of school, and first thing I wanted to do was to buy a house and get started on home ownership. And that's what I did. But at the same time, I was dating a lady who eventually, or quite soon after that, became my wife. And one of the activities that we did tells you where our mindset was. One of the activities we did is we both were shopping for a house and went and looked at houses and, you know. And actually, right about the time I asked her to marry me, we found houses that worked for us. One of the houses, really, well, we'll go to break, but when I get back, this is a really great example of buying the relatively new house or buying the truly old house and what the results can be. So when we come back from break.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
Okay, so my fiance and I, my future wife, we've both bought houses. I bought a 1950s ranch with a walkout basement, brick, on a little pond in town that had been built by an engineer when he retired. And everything in the house was done as well as he could figure out how to do it. It was an interesting house because it didn't need much of anything. It had been used as a rental house for 20 years, and I got a great deal on it. Cosmetically, it was in poor shape. I ripped out the bathrooms and replaced them, and I took off the gutters and put on aluminum trim. Other than that, the house didn't need anything. When I 6 months after I bought it, actually, and I had two roommates in the house with me. I got married and moved out of that house and moved in another roommate. For the next 10 years, I used that as a rental house and with positive cash flow, and it sat there. It was a very well-built 1950s house. So it could sit there for years and be fine. And I had very little to do with it. Finally, I sold it when one of the a friend of mine asked me to go with his daughter and son-in-law to look at a house they were thinking of buying. And it was an old beat-up house in a not-good neighborhood. I looked at it. I'd bought this house in a very good neighborhood. It was kind of the cheapest house in the neighborhood. I looked at it and said, you know, for the same money, I'll sell you my house. It's a much better deal. It's in much better shape in a better neighborhood. And I sold it at a really good profit for me, as well as a bargain for them, in part because there was no real estate agent involved. However, okay, my wife, my future wife, bought a truly old house. And probably with my urging, this house was built back in the 1920s as a hunting and fishing lodge on a lake, small lake, small 13, 14 acre lake, what was then outside of town on 400 acres. The 400 acres were later sold and became a country club. And this house then sat on the prime piece of land on the lake in the middle of the country club. However, it was only two bedrooms, one bath, and really was kind of ramshackle. It was two bedrooms. You know, it didn't sell because nobody buys a two-bedroom house and a little tiny house in a neighborhood, in the country club neighborhood. We did. Started tearing into it. Well, we got married, and she became pregnant right away, and which was great. And the planned our renovation to the house. And really it was to rip off the kitchen, most of the kitchen, and add the family room, kitchen family room area that I've talked so much about in Romancing the Home, plus two bedrooms and a bath upstairs. We do that the night before my son was born, and we end up having, you know, well, we ripped the roof off the house the night before my son was born. The thing about this house is it was a truly old house. And what we didn't know until we ripped off the roof and dug into it, it was actually a log cabin. The middle of the house, the main part of it, was a log cabin, and the kitchen had just been an addition stuck onto it. When you do a truly old house, you discover all sorts of things. One of the things we discovered was the crawl space had been dug by hand and built out of stone again. And it was as low as it could possibly be. In fact, up in the corners, it may only have been 18 inches. You know, very, very hard to work in. Conducive to mold growth, although we didn't really seem to have that. And these are the discoveries you make. Plus, you have to assume you fix everything. So we did. We ripped out the existing bath. We put in all new plumbing in the house. We upgraded the electrical and put in new electrical. We put in new heating system. What we didn't change was the character. This had started off as a hunting and fishing lodge, and it had an incredible living room. It was a 22 by 27 foot, all wood room with a massive stone fireplace in it. This is something you'd never build today deliberately. And, you know, but we had it there. And we enhanced that rather than messed it up. I actually say never build today. In truth, if you look at on my website, the Brown Bear Lodge, my house in the mountains, actually we did rebuild it there. The massive all wood, you know, cabin room with the massive fireplace. And, but that's what we moved into as a truly old home. What we did though, the really smart thing we did is we took a house that was unsaleable and sold for the value of the land because it was only two bedrooms and it was kind of shabby and beat up. We added a family room and created the kitchen family room idea. We added two more bedrooms upstairs and a bath. So we made it into an acceptable, viable home in a high-income neighborhood. When we sold it, about 4 years later, we made about a 30% return on our investment, meaning we sold it for 30% more than everything we had in it. Not because of the work we did, but because we took something that because of a flaw, you know, because of something that the market would not accept, and we fixed that, we ended up getting market value for it. And so that was our nest egg. That allowed us to then jump to the next home, find that and buy that at a reduced price, you know, because of flaws, and get ready to fix that one. That's part of the idea. If you're going to do any home and invest, you know, invest in any home, look for the one that gives you the best return on investment. Or, as I say, romance of the home. Do it just because this is a labor of love. Now, I've been involved with many, many old homes during the, you know, my career. And probably, well, I'll talk about two homes in the historic districts in Durham. And these are homes that quite often are the ones that you would tend to think of when you renovate an old home, is they are, this used to be the real substantial business owner's neighborhood. And the homes are substantial, impressive, 5,000 square foot, Victorians, four squares, beautiful homes, just 100 years old. The neatest job I had, and sorry, we're about to go to break, but let me, when we come back, I'll tell you about this house. It had been built 90 years ago for the family. And when it was sold to my owners, 90 years later, the lady who sold it, going into a nursing home, had been born in that house just after it was built. And they had never changed hands and never been improved in the 90 years. So when we come back from break, I'll tell you about that adventure.
Ask-
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones: Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones: Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H @yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
Let me tell you about this house. The house, first of all, is a named house, meaning that the people who had built it was a well-recognized family in this area that still is, you know, their name is recognized. And as I said, the house hadn't been touched in 90 years, other than sometime in the 50s, they updated the bathrooms and they replaced the kitchen. My owners bought it and they did the proper thing. They're smart people. They took the asking price, the selling price for the house, and talked to me ahead of time when we looked at it. What is it going to cost to renovate this house? And, you know, we talked about two things. One is what would it cost to renovate this house and get it in shape so that it's in pristine, top shape today. Basically about $450,000 over and above the cost of the existing house. And this is to replace all the systems in it, heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, bring that all up to today, to put in the new kitchen, the new bathrooms. The house needed... It's a house built for how they lived back in 1902, 1904. So how do you combine some rooms at the back and the old porches and the kitchen area, combine all of that and make the country kitchen that's the gathering place for the house and how we live today? That was one goal and one thing. The other was, how do you, if you're doing a close to $1 million house, you still need to give the master bedroom the feel of what a master bedroom is today. So it was taking one of the upstairs bedrooms and making that the master bath and closets. We lose a bedroom, but we've got a whole third floor to expand and add more bedrooms. It's a 4-square house, as most of these are. So four bedrooms upstairs and maybe one bath. And a beautiful staircase and all of this. And the other thing was how to introduce light and sunshine and brightness in the house. And we did that by a little addition, sunroom, two-story sunroom addition, the upper floor of that actually being the master bath, filled with sunlight, especially eastern morning light. House is still old, still in character, but you add the modern pieces that make it viable for today and make it easy to sell if you ever should decide to sell it. So we talked about the cost, $450,000 to renovate it. That included $100,000 worth of essentially discovery, things that weren't right, restoring the outside, that sort of thing. Had to make a decision. The first decision was, are we bringing it up to date and respecting the original bones of the house, but, you know, bringing it up to date, or are we restoring it to its grandeur and glory when it was built? The difference between the two, in this case, is probably $100,000 on top of the $450,000. What they decided to do, for the most part, was to restore it to the character of what it, you know, of what it had been. And this involved getting an interior designer who specializes in historic houses and doing a lot of stenciling, a lot of wallpaper, a lot of restoration of the trim work in the house to bring it all back. And one part that I really disagreed with was I had designed and laid out a modern kitchen. And modern kitchen, sitting room in the back that, you know, really would be the gathering place for the house. The historic interior designer convinced them instead to do a historic kitchen area and really kind of close it down. A lot of what I do is opening up that kitchen family room area. And sometimes the interior designer comes in and shuts it all down. But anyway, so they did more of the historic kitchen, and which I think was a mistake. It should be more living, breathing, and more functioning for the whole family. Here's the thing. When they got into it, this is a truly old house, got into it, discovered that the foundation had a lot of questions, so went in there and spent a month shoring up the foundation, reinforcing it, $50,000. The front porch, the underpinnings of that were completely rotted and bad, so essentially ripped the wraparound porch off and replaced it. Another $30,000, $40,000. The decision was to restore all of the old siding, and that meant it cost more money to restore it, replace the bad boards, strip off the paint, the 100 years of paint, and put on new paint that would have been to strip the house completely and put up new siding. So all of that expenditure probably took us up to $500,000 as the base house, plus the decision inside to go back with real plaster rather than using gypsum board on the walls. And that was because primarily we didn't move walls, we didn't change them, so we were just patching. And the decision was to patch with real plaster as they'd done originally. That was some money. And then, as I said, overlaying that, the decision to restore it to its original character and to its original look, a very correct period look, that was another $100,000. So this was a beautiful house, restored to its original glory, a named house, and that has some significance, that has some monetary cachet that increases the value of the home. At a topping price, you know, originally we set out to come in just under $1 million, $900,000, somewhere in there. The neighborhood, that's the top end of what I felt the neighborhood could support. And, you know, what I would feel comfortable as purely an investment. They ended up spending a little more than $1 million, about probably $150,000 to $200,000 more than originally hoped and targeted. I'm not sure that extra money spent can be gotten back. And as a Scotsman, that bothers me. As a lover of old houses, it's a terrific home. It won the Preservation Award for that year and should have. It is a beautiful, great home that they are proud of and they'll live in for years. But cost a little more than it hoped for, and probably a little more than the resale value will support. That's the danger with these old houses. Did another house in the same neighborhood, and which was not the deliberate, planned thing that this one was, the named house. This was an accidental total redo. The owners had bought it 20 years ago and lived in it for a while and then subsequently moved to Chapel Hill and kept this as a rental house. It's one of these beautiful 5,000 square foot, four square homes again. Kept it as a rental house for 20 years, always thinking at some point they'd like to move back into that house, into that neighborhood that they loved. And it's a great neighborhood. Well, one day, the ceiling in the kitchen, the plaster ceiling in the kitchen, just gave way and fell to the floor. You know, 50 years of neglect and, you know, and water damage and all of that had finally done their magic. And the house, you couldn't safely keep it as a rental house. So you sell it as is, or you do the renovation. And they had no budget. It was just, let's do what we have to do to get this house back in shape. And you know what? The kids are almost finished high school. Let's move back into it. So let's renovate it as our house. Well, they didn't have a plan to begin with, so they just got a contractor friend, put him in there, and said, start fixing things. You know, we want to renovate it. He ended up stripping the whole inside of the house. He ended up stripping off all of the gypsum board in the entire house, or actually plaster in the entire house, back down to the studs. Pretty much committing them to a complete and utter renovation. All new electrical, plumbing, everything. HVAC, everything. And this was accidental. So the money clock is running at a high pitch with no plan for the future when I got involved and, you know, trying to plan and make us, as long as they're doing the work, let's make this into a great house. And, oh, by the way, we think we're going to move back there and it's going to be our home. So the other thing about these houses is this is in a historic district and you get the renovation tax credits. And of course, while in the Nave house, they've gotten renovation tax credits, here they're applying for them. So we've got to, on the outside, work with the Historic Commission and make sure that we fit the guidelines and we do things, you know, that they will approve so we can get the tax credits. And the tax credits are significant for the restoration work. They're 30%. That's a 30% credit on your state tax bill that you can carry forward for years. And that's often with these, the difference between making it work and just being monetarily stupid is this tax credit. And so when we come back from break, I'll, you know, finish talking about this house, and I tell you about a couple up in Hillsboro that are a great idea and a really bad idea. Come back from break.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ever wondered what private investigators really do and how they go about solving cases? Each week, PI's Declassified gives a glimpse into this little-known world. Join your host, Francie Kaler, a noted private investigator, in conversations with detectives and experts in the field. False confessions, forensic evidence, finding missing persons, exposing fraud, exonerating the innocent. All areas that Francie and her guests will cover. And have they got stories to tell? Tune in and call in to the live show Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Tune into Goddard Design every week for everything that is arts, interior design, and architecture. Host Chris Goddard will help you explore and invite creativity into your life. Our guests will include industry leaders and insiders who take you through the entire world of design and its many facets. You may not be immediately aware, but design is involved in nearly everything we do, from homes to clothing to food and drink. Tune into Goddard Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
So they're, this couple, they're jumping into this complete remaking of a house that they hadn't planned. And we were doing everything. There were a couple of surprises still further. One was that the whole back of the house, there was a shed roof extension. That whole thing was rotted, poorly built, badly damaged by water. We just ripped it off. And even in the historic district in context, because it was there, we were able to build back a new addition. They even had to rip out and replace the foundation, but build back a new addition in the same footprint that gave us the kitchen family room that, you know, I always believe you should create in a house, plus gave us the really nice high ceiling, interesting master bath flooded with light. So that was the opportunity to put on these pieces that the old house didn't have and preserve all of the character and charm of the existing spaces. Also discovered on this house that the fireplace one of the two fireplace stacks, the bricks, the mortar was so old, bad, whatever, that it just crumbled and you could actually reach and pull bricks out with your bare hands. After a lot of debate and looking at how can we reinforce it and reshore it, we ended up getting permission from the historic district just to tear it down. So one of the really nice historic features in the house, or character features, is fireplace stack. We ended up just ripping out, and it disappeared. That's kind of what happens sometimes, is that if you can't fix something or it's really too expensive, it goes. So they ended up getting their beautiful house in the neighborhood they love, that has the feel of an old house and the solidity of it, and everything new and beautiful. And all they spent was about the same money if that had been a vacant lot and they built the house from scratch. It would have been the same money. May have been slightly less. Plus the cost of the house that, you know, the residual value of the house that was there getting started. Those were two big, beautiful houses in, you know, what had been the upper class neighborhood and still is. The up in Hillsboro in the historic district is primarily worker houses. They're smaller, 1,500 square foot, something like that. And more where blue-collar workers lived, or the managers of blue-collar workers. And typically built before 1900, at least to start out. Here's the question. I've looked at some houses up there, and this one case was a beautiful Queen Anne cottage that had been virtually untouched, hadn't been changed inside since it was built, and all the natural woodwork, I mean, everything was still there and intact. Beautiful. Had all been built at one time, so it was relatively good shape and well built by skilled carpenters. It made great sense to restore and work on that house. And we did so. We added two bathrooms in a addition off to the side that looks like a side porch that had been enclosed, you know, sometime in the last 100 years. That made great sense. Another house that I looked at up there was a real question. It is a real question. And the house had been built, the original part of the house had been built back sometime before 1900. We're not sure when. And it was just like a 24 by 30 foot basic worker house. You know, 600 square feet, 700 square feet. Basic worker house built to very basic standards. Hand dug footings, put it on stone pilings, you know, and built it 7.5 foot ceilings, pretty much put up by jackleg carpenters. Over the next 100 years, there were 5 additions done to the house. And it expanded from under 700 square feet to about 1,500 square feet. All of these in additions that were kind of makeshift, lean-to, stuck-on things. And without a great character to it, it was just there. The question is, should you renovate that house? Is there... You know, what are you going to find when you tear it up, when you tear into it? And it's really a tough question. When I was brought into it, I'd actually looked at the house a couple of times for different people. When I was brought in to look at it now, they had already bought it. They'd already committed. So the question is, what can you do? the first thing you have to do is to create some significant space in there. The kitchen was the largest part, about 20 by 20. I could add a little addition to that, get it up to 26 feet wide, take out the ceiling, raise it up to the underside of the roof. I told you I had a 7.5 foot ceiling. Raise that up to the underside of the roof, put in some beams. I created this one significant space in the middle of the house. Want to give it some historic feel, you know, give it a reason for restoring and being there. And since it didn't have any to begin with, I had to create that. So if you think of the very old colonial house and the massive, large stone fireplace that they used both to cook on and heat in that old colonial house. What we did in this new kitchen sitting room was we put in that old fireplace that had never been there. And now it became, that became a significant room. And at least from the inside, that room alone is halfway there to selling someone on the house. It is warm and cozy and feels like it's been there for 100 years. The house has, just the room hasn't. The other space I dealt with was the master bedroom, which had been an addition back in the 50s. Clumsily done and awful bath. Just gutted that and redid it within the box and shaped the space again, raised the ceiling up. Whenever you have low ceilings in the house, to have some high ceiling spaces, especially if they're bent, angled, really gives character and the contrast really pops it out. So in this little house, I can make the inside work and make it into something special just by creating that kitchen sitting room and creating the master bedroom. Still is a very tough call whether this is worth it. And when you build your house, when you look, get expert advice before you buy and realistic about what it's going to cost and what you expect from the outcome. But it can be wonderful, a romance with the home. Thanks now. See you next week.
Again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.